What's up, Yerti?
What's up, Jerry?
What's poppin'?
I always
Podcast
laugh.
just hopped in.
Welcome, guys, to Conversations with My Ex.
How y'all doing today? On Conversations with My Ex today, we have a special guest, a friend of mine, Amber Boone.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up,
You sounded a little unsure, like you know my name.
No, I wasn't unsure. It was just
why you gotta give people's last name? Like
drum roll.
Amber is enough, you know. It's just like Amber.
I don't know what it is. It's like, I guess I like her whole name. I don't know.
Okay. All right. All right. All right.
Okay. Anyway, so I mean, I wanted Amber to be on the podcast because, number one, she does podcasts. She's a super interesting person. She's like one of the biggest hustlers I've ever met in my entire life. I mean, you're you be
that's
hustling,
what I like to hear.
But this girl be hustling. Like,
all right, that's what I need. That's what
I
we
mean,
need.
For real, jack of all trades. So I wanted to have her on and, you know, tell a little about herself, have a little bit of an inspirational session, and have some fun because I think Amber's fun. So yeah, let's do that.
Welcome,
so,
Amber.
Thank
I'm
you so much.
To meet you. Yeah, I'm excited
I'm
to meet you.
I'm excited to be here. I love y'all podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Hold on. Have you even listened to an episode?
I have listened to it. I have. Like, I feel like months ago, because I messaged you about it. Yeah. See? Oh, see, I'm on it.
Okay.
Right, she messaged me like, Jerry,
that's
I love
cool.
the podcast.
That's
I'm
cool.
Like, what?
Yeah, I listened to it. I saw because he had posted something on Instagram and it caught my attention. I don't know if it was a clip or whatever, but it made me go to the actual podcast and listen. And
all
I was
right.
like, okay.
We're doing something right. We're doing something right. Yeah. All right, Amber. So do you want to like introduce yourself to our listeners, make it short or long, however you prefer it?
Okay. So yeah, my name is Amber Boone. I also am somewhat known by the name AB, Queen AB.
Hey.
Queen AB in the house.
For real.
Like Jerry said, I'm a hustler a little bit. Yeah, so I basically I'm what they say, jack of all trades or whatever, master of none, but I like to say I'm master of all trades. Like, I just am passionate about a lot of things. I love helping people, and there's a million different ways to help people. And if I can make money doing it as well without like getting over on people, then it's just a perfect situation for me. So I have a degree from Central Michigan University in integrated leadership and a social media certification. Are you a chip?
No. This girl is hot. Like, she's educated, you know, she's hot. Not that like uneducated girls are not hot, but I'm just like, yes, she got it, you know?
Yeah. So I got my degree from there and I started doing like social media marketing was kind of my career path. And I've done that for just under 10 years. And in addition to that, I've always like freelanced on the side. So I've had my side business. And then just this past couple of years, like I've got into artist management. I've became an ordained minister. I'm a public notary. I do public speaking. I host a podcast.
Keep listing it. I'm like, keep listing it.
I just got my real estate license at the end of 2020. So now I'm a licensed realtor in Michigan. I'm trying to think of what else.
Bro, I told you she'd do it all. Like,
listen.
If she was a carpenter, I would not be surprised. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm out here like,
listen,
Jesus and shit.
I've checked your Instagram profile and I saw that you're doing like a lot of things. And then I saw one of your posts saying like, why would you trust me? Because I'm like, I have a lot going on. So, you know, just checking your Instagram profile, I was like, okay, I like this girl already because she's not stuck in like one way. How many of us think that, oh my God, I have to be like this one person, an expert in one area. And like, we're just one layered. I'm like, no. We're like multi-layered people and we should explore each hobby that we like, or like each thing that we want. Some things work out, some things don't work out. And like some things probably is like your main income source and others are just extra income sources, which is like, I have a lot of respect for you. But because of that, I wanted to ask like, you know, you have this strong personality, you have a lot of fire in you. I can tell right away. How's dating life for you? Because men tend to be intimidated by women like you.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, so like I've been married twice before. So
okay.
in my
okay.
marriages, I was always accused of trying to be the man in the relationship. And why can't I just like calm down and just be a girl? And why can't I just like, yeah, I mean.
So, okay. Okay. Let's, I'm going to stop you right there. Like, so tell me, how does that feel? Because just today, like maybe 20 minutes ago, I was accused of exactly the same thing. And now I was like, oh, you, hey, oh no, you didn't.
Wait, hold on. You ain't even got a man. How the hell that's happening?
Okay, I don't. It's some fuck boys in my DMs that are not even worth my time, you know. Yeah. But they were like accusing me of this, and I'm like, how does that feel? Because just tell me, how does that feel when somebody tells you like you're the man?
Well,
in the house?
When I was younger, like I think I got married young, very young. I was married the first time at 16. And the second time at 22. So I was very, very young and immature. And so for me, I had, and I still have so much pride, and it's the worst thing for me. Probably my biggest flaw. And no, it's my biggest flaw for sure. But especially in relationships and dating. But when I was younger, it was like, yeah, I am the man. And like, you should be more of a man than me then if you don't like it. Like,
I love the head bob on Jerry's like, yup. You gotta do the finger too.
I guess I don't have any problems with that type of shit, right?
Yeah.
So
for me,
I'm like, all right, do what you gotta do, and I'm gonna do what I gotta do. So it's like,
but see, that's the thing. So in dating,
yeah,
people say things like that, and I'm like, but you haven't met me though. Like, yes. But you just don't know. Like, I can break the manliest of
like down, the shit,
and I'm
never
not bragging
real.
Or no. challenging anyone. I'm just saying. That I've been there, and like, I don't care how Debo you are.
Yeah.
So when you say that, you say in dating, but not in a relationship situation. Is that what you're trying to say? That's the difference.
No, I'm saying in dating, like when I date after marriage, because obviously I had that situation, but like, and then in dating, you know, out getting to know somebody, I'm like, yeah, well, you know, I have kind of a problem with being a little too assertive, aggressive, blah, whatever. And they're like, oh, you know, I'm not worried about that. Like, it takes a real man to deal with a woman like you. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, okay.
Like, preach it. And then it happens. And then their ego just fucking explodes. And they're like, oh, well, but you're doing this and you blah, blah. I'm like, oh, come on, man. We talked about this.
You know what's funny?
It's just annoying. What?
I wish I could have experienced this.
What do you mean?
So,
you don't want
Amber,
to.
How did we meet?
Oh, yeah.
How did we meet? We met on Bumble, I think, didn't we?
We did.
You did not.
Yeah.
You did not. Okay.
Like years ago. Like,
another question. Straight up, another question. How do you feel being in the same room with Jerry and talking about dating life with his ex-girlfriend on a podcast?
It doesn't bother me because we're like cool as hell. We're just friends.
We're cool,
like, it never went anywhere. You know what I'm saying? So and that happened a lot for me when on Bumble and on dating apps. Like, I would meet somebody and I would just be like, they're super cool. Like, I don't want to date them. I don't want to do anything because we could be friends. Like, this could be dope.
That
happens for me all the time.
Yeah.
Like, all the time. And like, when we did meet on Bumble, we just hey, let's meet up. I lived in Boston already, and I was in Detroit swiping, thirsting and shit, you know. And like, we just decided to meet that day, and she was cool. We was cool. Yeah. We hung out a bunch of times. Like, anytime I come home, we'd hang out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like, she came to Boston once, but like, it never was.
So what do you think, Amber? What do you think is like the key ingredient to making something cool out of like meeting strangers or, you know, let's say bar, or like thirst apps or whatever, like what's the key ingredient to have a cool relationship with somebody? Because not a lot of people get there. Like, a lot of times there's going to be, oh, we matched, but we never talked. And like, that's it. Or like, oh, we matched, but something. And then, or like, oh, he would, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people have excuses, but then some other people make great relationships out of it. And now we all here.
Yeah, you know? No, I think it's just first and foremost, like, get off the app, first of all, because a lot of motherfuckers just want to sit on the app, swipe, talk forever, unmatch, rematch, delete the app, then you reload the app, then you re-swipe again. Like, I think we met the same day we swiped, like literally within hours.
Like that.
It was just like, okay, let's go, whatever. And so that's first and foremost, is you have to meet the person to know what is this, because sitting there talking is, you know, it's bullshit.
It's irrelevant.
Yeah. And then after that, just be honest. Like I think when I first started dating, when I was first on the apps, I didn't really know what I wanted, but I was kind of exploring. Mm. But once I knew kind of what I was doing and what I wanted, it was like, okay, you fit in this box, you fit in this box, you fit in this box. But I was honest with that. Like, this is not that, or whatever the case may be. Just be honest, because I met another person on the app too. It was super fucking cool. And like, he wanted to date me, but I was like, no, listen, we could be friends, but like, I have this girl I could hook you up with, because like,
why you ain't do that for me?
First of all, because I don't know nobody in Boston. Okay.
Yeah. I fly everywhere, bro. You know, I'll be out here.
But fuck so you, I was Jerry. Like, but he was like, no. He was like, but I want to date you. And I'm like, no. Like, scratch that. Bad idea. But you can date her. Y'all would be great together, and we could still be friends. Like,
I think, you know, this is an important thing that you say, like honesty. Like Jerry and I, we always communicate about this. Like, just be fucking honest. Just say what it is, and people won't get mad. Like, regardless what situation that is, just like be real, be a friend, be like, hey, you know, this is how I feel, and like, don't be like petty or bitter about shit, because this fuckboy just like. Mess my thing.
Hold on, tell me about the fuckboy before I say my point.
We matched months ago on Tinder. See, and here and there,
you heard
like
what Amber just said. Get off the app.
So we matched, and then like he would message me something, and like I don't reply. And then like 2 weeks later, he would message me something, and then like I would reply. And it was just like on and off. And now we moved to Instagram, and that's where it was like. Bruh. He called me cocky. He told me like many other things. And I was like, oh, classic, fucking classic. A man calling me cocky out of two conversations or like two messages is like classic. Congratulations. Like, you fucking surprised me. So like just, and you know, that kind of like set, like fired me up, because there are so many men, like they have their ego up their butt. And the minute you try to like, or like I was just being myself, the minute I try to like play a little bit or say something back to them, they like, oh, you're cocky, or like, you're too aggressive, you're too intimidating. So on that point, I wanted to go back to Amber's story, because you were saying, you know, I asked you like, how does it feel when somebody, like when men call you aggressive, or when men call you like too much or intimidating, or you're intense or whatever, like, how does it feel? What's the real thing? Like, are you actually aggressive? Are you actually intense? Or
like- I definitely am. Like, I'm definitely a lot for sure. Like, and so, like I said, when I was younger, I was like, yeah. And then, but now that I'm older, like I've softened in my age. Mm. Like, so now, no, but I'm much more like aware. And so I do try to, I don't want to say tone it down a little bit, but I'm just more aware of what I'm saying, what I'm doing. And then especially when I care about a person, or like I'm in a relationship now, like I know to just chill out, like just tone it down. He doesn't ever call me that. I mean, like, he knows what it is. It's just like unspoken. Like, I can just tell by the way he's looking at me sometimes, like, okay. Yep. But I think for me, I am that way, but it's like a protection. It's like a safety wall. So for me, I have to feel safe enough, and I do now. So I have to feel safe enough to be able to let that guard down and not be so like aggressive and strong and intimidating and more than.
What's your zodiac sign?
I'm a Sagittarius.
Okay. Cause I was like, sounds like a Scorpio.
Oh, no.
But Sag. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So like, I don't know. Now I don't take it so much as an insult. It's just like, it's more of a self-awareness thing. It's like, that is not something that I don't mind being strong and powerful and assertive and all of that. But I think when it comes off as aggressive, or when it's, you know, you trying to like just puff yourself up, or then it's like, it's not a good trait to have. Like, I think you have to find your kind of happy place in being assertive and being a powerful woman and all of that without being like
a bitch.
Like, honestly,
yeah.
Because it is a line. It's a thin line, but there is that line. Like people think, oh, just because I'm assertive, just because I'm powerful doesn't make me a bitch. Sometimes it does though. And like, you need to recognize that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there is definitely a fine line between being like powerful and confident and being a nasty bitch, just because like, because you loud and because, you know, you just nasty to another human, regardless of what the guy is doing or whatever, but like, just because you nasty, you ain't powerful. Like that's not what it is.
And you said a good point, just because you're loud and all of that. So that's the thing, is a lot of times we present our aggressiveness or our passion or our powerfulness in, I'm louder than you. I'm stronger. I'm this than you. I'm more than, and that's what I'm saying. Mm. So you don't always have to be more than, you don't have to be louder than. Mm. Sometimes the most powerful acts come from you just sitting back and shutting up. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so that is powerful as hell. But I think, and that's that age, that wisdom, that's like, I had to learn that.
Yeah.
I'm still learning that. I still have so much more to learn.
Oh, for sure. We're like, we learn every day, you know, we never stop learning. We learn every day. And I feel like the older I get, the more I'm learning, which is, I'm like, oh, can we just have like a Sunday chill Sunday where I'm not learning shit?
Mm-hmm. No, you can't do that. I mean, I feel like there's two things playing here when we're talking about this quote unquote aggression, right? One thing is like feminine and masculine energy. Mm. And the other thing is more of, like you said, like a protection or some type of insecurity or some type of trauma that's happened that's caused you to, you know, have this wall or barrier up. I think they're two different things. So do you think you're actually a more masculine woman, or do you think it's more of the defense mechanisms and traumas that you've experienced that have caused you to feel this way or act a certain way?
Oh, you just said that for me. I was like, wait, where's the answer? No, I definitely think it's a trauma response. Like I used to say to my ex-husband all the time, like, can I just be a dainty flower? Like, will you just let me be a girl? Like, I just want to be a girl. I just want to be soft. And I just want to be like a little needy sometimes. And I just want to be a girl, but I've never been, up until this point in my life, felt safe enough. Or never been able to just be feminine and just be a girl.
Why do you think that is? Like, why do you think you need to feel safe in order to feel girly?
Because I've always viewed it as a weakness.
Here we go. Yeah. Listen, this is powerful that you just said that, because I used to, not too long ago, I realized that being feminine is not a weakness, or like being kind and friendly is not a weakness. Mm. Not too long ago. So like, for you to say that on our podcast, I'm like, okay, here we go. Now we're at the bottom of this.
It's funny that you guys say that, because I also just recently found that out, because, you know, I didn't know personally, even all my friends knew, that I'm pretty sensitive. So like, I had no clue that like, things got to me much more than other people. And I just got mad. And I was just like, fuck y'all. You know, you bitch. Like, you know, I just mad about shit. But I didn't know that. I just was like, I felt things deeper than most people do. And I'm just a little bit more sensitive. So I learned that sensitivity and a little bit of feminine energy, it's not a bad thing. It's a spectrum. Mm. And sometimes you're in one, sometimes you're another. And I would say I'm a pretty masculine man. I'm pretty alpha usually. Mm. But sometimes I ain't, you know, sometimes I'm a little bitch.
It's not a weakness.
It's not a weakness. It's not.
Do you think realizing that actually like helps you in dating, or
it does,
like turns things sour?
It does mainly because I have a little bit more empathy, number one. Yeah. And I'm okay letting my guard down and speaking about my feelings and what's going on and what I'm thinking about, and not feel some type of way about it. Like usually as a guy, right, you're taught you can't talk about certain things. You can't express your emotions and your feelings, or you're soft.
Yeah.
And sometimes a girl might take advantage of that shit. So you have to also feel safe. Mm. And they have to like show that they're not going to take advantage of that later and like expose you, right? So like I've felt a long time that I couldn't express myself completely to a woman.
Yeah.
No, I think that's like a lot of men feel that way, that women have this keen power to take what you say and to use it against you later, even if it's unintentional. And I think it's just the way that women operate and how we process things. And I know I've done it a lot, and it's not something
give me
that
an
I
example.
Ever intend to do. No, but I mean, like anything, just, you know, take something that your person you're dating or your spouse or whatever tells you in confidence, or something they share with you about an experience they had. And then later, could be weeks, could be months, could be freaking years, you know, yeah. You're having a conversation or a situation happens and you revert back to that thing they told
throw
you.
It to your face.
But here's the thing. So a lot of times when I've done it to provide perspective for that person. Like maybe okay. You'll understand where I'm coming from if I relate it to this thing you told me.
Yeah.
But to men, to yeah. every single human man on the face of the earth, they take it as, oh, you're throwing that shit in my face. That's why I don't talk to you. Like,
because the little boys. No. I'm sorry, Jerry, and I'm sorry for all the men listening.
Little,
but like, y'all
little, boys
little kids.
Jerry. Don't put
y'all
them
little kids.
Don't
like,
put that shit in the same sense.
But I think it's just it's literally like I know we're all for like, oh my God, we're equal and all this, but we're not. Like, men are men and women are women, and
we're definitely
we
not
are
equal,
biologically that's. And physiologically. Different
completely.
We're definitely not equal. I agree with that. Like, I think we should as humans have like equal opportunities if we wanted to like achieve something in life or whatever, but we're not equal. And I had a situation I told Jerry about. I was like, I understand why men or like why there are not that many women in powerful positions in like corporate worlds or whatever, or like business world, because I've met a business owner who runs her business based on her emotions. If she's having a good day, everybody in the office is having a good day. And if she's having a bad day, she's fucking changing her directions and she's being left and right. And I was like, okay, I get it.
But see,
we're not
but here's
equal,
the thing.
But we're our equal.
But there are men who run their businesses based on their
ego
and their needs, their personal needs. And, you know, it's a lot of men. It's a lot of men out here who fuck up their families, their businesses and everything to get a nut. Like, let's be honest, because they
we know a handful for sure.
I mean, motherfucking Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, like
Bezos.
Are you kidding me? Like, you know what I'm saying? The most rich men in the world fucked up everything, their money, their billions of dollars for a quick nut.
You know,
like,
why, though? You know why?
Because men think with the wrong head.
Nah, it's because ain't nothing better than pussy.
Than a
new pussy.
Oh God, that's disgusting.
It's just like, oh, no, but it's like, all right, I get it.
Feel.
It's like, I get it. You have your needs, you know, you have your primarily needs. Like, that's like the basic thing, you know, is sex, is to produce or whatever.
Yeah. That's how people but are like, wired. That's what guys are wired. It's fucked up. I mean, it's fucked up. I'm not saying
but
it's
right.
But
it's like, really,
right.
You're going to risk your name, your
risk
fame, like everything just for like 30 second nuts?
30 seconds?
Like,
yes, they do.
You don't even last long. Like, what are we talking about? 3 minutes?
Even if it was longer, the actual nut itself, which is
what
you're trying to accomplish. That's,
you know what I mean? It's not, it's not something that you just risk for like a couple of months or whatever. It's like,
how many people, how many times do you regret it afterwards? Like, it wasn't really worth it.
Honestly. Yeah.
Time.
And then you
most
carry,
the
you carry
if
that
always.
Regret.
If
exactly.
You, yeah. If you do it in that type of situation where it's like, I have something to lose.
Yeah.
And then I went and did this
shit. Even Jerry, let me ask you. So just being bored. I'm bored. I want some pussy. Bam. I hit this girl up. Shit. It wasn't worth it afterwards.
Yeah. That happens too.
See? And then they still do it. And then they still do it. And then they still go and do it. And then they still do it.
You guys don't understand. Like, you don't understand the power that our dick has on us.
You don't understand the power that our pussy has. Now, here we go.
Y'all think
our pussy makes your dick do that dumb shit. It's to lose everything.
It's not your pussy though. Because we were doing this shit before we was getting pussy. It's not the same. It's just a nut. It's not your pussy.
Like, it literally is just a nut. It could literally be fucking phone sex. It could be like just talking to somebody. It could be a hole in the ground. It literally is whatever makes that produces that.
Put all that.
I'm loving
pussy
this.
On a pedestal,
I'm loving this episode, even though.
But if you had a preference, you would choose
always, pussy. always pussy over pussy over hand or
for sure.
couch pillow, whatever. You know. Whatever you fucking
I'm loving this episode. I have so much hate for men right now that I'm like, yes.
I love it. Of men right now.
I don't.
But not really though, because like we be fucking up. Like dudes be fucking up.
Yeah.
Like you said, Amber, like, do I regret sex sometimes? And yes, I do. in my age, I've learned to not do it in those situations, right?
Because you're girls, smart. You're a grown adult.
I am a lot smart. And I was abstinent for like almost 5 years in my adult life.
Yeah.
So I got willpower. I got control. I'm like, whatever, man. This little one day ain't gonna do shit to me. You know what I'm saying? So
it's a big
The times I notice it the most is I won't have sex with girls now if they have certain expectations for our relationship and I don't have those same expectations.
That's so smart.
Smart,
because that's like how people get into you have two different people, like one person's wanting something and the other person is thinking it's something else. And that's where that honest conversation piece comes in. Like, what do you want out of this situation?
Yeah. Jerry, like you need to make babies and like teach them the same so we can have more men like you on this planet Earth, you know?
I got nephews. I got 6 nephews.
So okay. So you got to teach them how to be a good man and not I'll try.
But to that point, like that conversation, that honest conversation, sometimes the problem with that conversation is, especially as a man, you don't really know what you want. And it's hard, especially for me, to like commit, as Yuchi knows. It's very, very difficult. No shit. It takes time. And I really just need to understand how we vibe and what's going on. So it's not like I'm like leading you on or acting like I want something I don't, but I do let you know. Like I never told Yuchi, yo, I'm trying to be your boyfriend, so let's do this, right? It was like,
yeah, you're always saying like, I'm not trying to be your boyfriend, but let's meet, let's date, let's do this.
Fuck boy activities.
I guess so. You can call it.
It was
that.
A little bit more than that. We're like straight up dating, but he was like, "I ain't your man." I'm like, "Fuck you! You're stupid for saying that."
But it was true in my eyes, and on paper, you know what I'm saying. We was not dating. We was just.
I wanna bang your head on the wall.
Oh my god!
I know.
I mean, it's kind of his fuck boy situations. I didn't know that because I'm like, no, I treat these girls good, like really good.
Yeah, the huge but is there. It's like,
but because oftentimes you do like it's good. Maybe you treat them good. Maybe it's like, but that's the thing. And so the girl's like, okay, well, he wouldn't keep treating me so good if he didn't like me. If he didn't want this to go further.
But here's that honest conversation. I told your ass. Did I not tell you?
I hate men for saying that. I fucking hate that shit. I'm hella confused right now.
I'm like so confused right now because so if you say, I don't want to be your man, but then
but I want to treat you like you're my girl.
Exactly. Then like,
wine, fuck your brains out.
What does that do? What does that do? That fucks with a girl's head.
That's not my problem. It's not my problem. Like, I'm just saying, listen.
I would slap you across the face if I was there right now. Like, I'm so fired up. I can't believe it.
It's not actually my problem. You tell me all the time, Yuchi, if I'm feeling like you're treating me a certain way, it's not your problem. It's my problem.
No.
I need to fix.
So listen, I'm being honest. No, I tell you, it's like, what you feel, like, if I'm, you tell me, like, I would treat you a certain way. I'm like, I know I'm not. But you feel this way. So then it's your problem. But like, I know I'm not treating you a certain way. Whatever you think is in your head.
Okay.
And this was like me, Jerry thought that I'm not respecting him or whatever. I was like, that's not true. I respect you a lot, but you feel disrespected. And then for sure it's your problem.
So the only way that I agree with what you're saying, Jerry, is where you say like, okay, well, I told you that ain't what it is. Is if a girl is like, oh yeah, it's cool. Like I'm cool. Because girls will do that. Girls will pretend to play along because they don't want the situation to stop.
Leave.
And they think
they
can change him.
Yeah,
they think that they can get him. Like, I know I can get his ass to change and want to be with me, whatever. In that situation, like that's not your problem. You told her the truth. She thought she could change you. But there are situations where women are very clear about the fact that they don't want no fuckboy shit. They don't want to be wasting their time dating for sport, et cetera, et cetera. And guys will still lead them on, essentially,
what
what's happening.
And that's what I mean.
And that's smart. And that's like that wisdom that comes with age, because you probably did when you were younger.
Well, back in the day, for sure, I would be like, well, I told you, so I'm smashing. We good. But now I can tell that they not with that shit. And they're not going to respect it. They're not going to be happy about it. They're going to be upset. Like you said, they're going to be slashing my tires, mad as fuck, or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. I don't play that shit. So like, just let them go. Right. I make the executive
decision. Don't even have sex.
No
sex. Just be like, you, girl, I'm letting you go because we ain't on the same vibe.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, this just ain't working. But if I tell you beforehand and you say, okay, I'm good, and you act accordingly, I'll continue if that's what I want. Yeah. But like, I just don't know. Sometimes I just don't know. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
True. See, and I've had a situation. I was dating a guy. We had a good ass situation going, but it was like, it came to a point where it was like, you know, we were exclusively dating each other, supposed to be. And and I found
love
out
those situationships.
I found out he was still on the app, and I'm like, so I was like, yo, what's up? Like, the situation was my girl was swiping and showing me something and having to swipe across his shit. And I was like, I didn't say nothing. And thank God she didn't know who he was. So there was like, cause otherwise if I'd been embarrassed, my pride would have been hurt. But saved by that bell. So anyway, so I was like, oh, okay. So I'm like, hey, what's up? I saw you're still on the app. I thought that like we were just seeing each other or whatever, not in a relationship, but exclusively dating or whatever. Yeah. And so he's like, yeah, you know, like I just talk to people sometimes, like, I don't know why, blah, 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 blah. So I was like, yeah, I can't do this. Like, I can't. I thought we were exclusive, whatever. So we stopped talking for a few days. And then he like hit me up like, hey, I deleted the app. Like, you know, I want to still talk to you. This is that. And I'm like, okay. So for like a couple of days, we tried to like talk again. But I was still like,
hurt by it.
I was hurt, but it was more like I could tell like he needed that. He needed that constant attention from women. He wanted to be on the app. Like, I didn't know what else he was doing. And I was like, you know what? Like, we vibe really good. We're good friends, whatever. Like, I don't want to hate you. And if we do this and I find out, like, I'm going to hate you and it's going to be bad. Yeah. So we need to just stop. And we did. And we're still friends to this day because he was honest and upfront. He was like, this is why I do it. This is what it is. Like, I really like you, but I don't think I can be committed to one person. And I respect him, even though he did hurt me. And even though, and in general, he's a fuck boy as fuck. He is a fuck boy. But because he was honest with me, like, I have so much respect for him. I'm so thankful he just told me, like, I don't think I can commit to you. Even though I like you so much and I respect you and you're dope, all this stuff, I can't. And I was just like, thank you so much for that honesty.
Exactly.
And that was like 2 years ago, I think, 2.5 years
ago.
And we're still
like
friends.
The honesty takes you so much further. Like, the truth will just set you free. That's it. But Amber, I wanted to learn like more about you just because I've never met you, but you seem like really cool. tell me like you're doing so many things. Like, tell me why you're doing all these things. Like, what's motivating you and like why you have like a mix of different areas that you want to explore?
So I'm absolutely insane, first and foremost.
I can agree with that.
No, I am. I've always, okay, so I don't know how much you know about Sagittarius, and I'm not like a big zodiac person, but I do believe that there is certain things that are true. And Sagittariuses are they get bored easily.
Okay.
And we like to do a lot of things and in relationships, jobs, like anything, like we just will be like, this is boring now. I'm going to leave. So for me and my career, that has been very true. I get very, very bored with whatever I'm doing and I want to leave. Well, I can't just like have a job, quit a job. So I've noticed that if I just have other things going on outside of whatever my main thing is, it keeps me like going. I cannot sit idle. Like, I'm the person who, I don't know, you ever seen somebody eating, stand up, you're like, sit down and eat. Or you're like, just watch the movie, Amber. Like, stop folding laundry. Stop texting. Stop even working. Like, I literally cannot just sit the hell down and do nothing. Yeah. I cannot do it. It's impossible for me. So I have to have a lot of things going on at all times. I like to, you know, keep the variety. And then also, like, I enjoy life and I enjoy enjoying life, meaning I want to take trips. I want to eat what I want to. If I'm shopping, if I'm out at a store and I see something I want to be able to buy it. I don't ever want to feel like I don't have the money for that. So as long as I know that I always have money coming in, I can always justify dropping however much on a ticket or buying something that I want or whatever. And so that motivates me, just knowing that I have like 10 different streams of income. Money's always coming to me. I don't have to search for it. I don't have to like anything. And it's whatever I spend, I'm constantly replenishing. So there's so many motivating factors to keep me doing a bunch of different things. And I just love it. Like, I just feel like we all have the same 24 hours in a day, but think about what we do with our 24 hours. A lot of people binge watch TV shows. A lot of people scroll through their phone aimlessly with nothing. A lot of
party. People- party yeah, like party, I love like how people party, just like party their time away and then hang over their time away.
No, seriously. Okay, so that's, so the partying thing, I can see value in that to an extent, because you're like networking, or at least I look at when people. I party, I network, I meet people, I build relationships.
Yeah,
but the hangover, like depending on how drunk I get, it could take me anywhere 1 to 3 days to recover. So that's wasting
it's
time.
It's just not worth it. Yeah, it's just not worth it.
I'm glad I didn't get drunk last night too.
Me too. Me too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Listen, I'm talking about this, sorry to interrupt, but like I went out Friday night and I got home at like 6 a.m. I was out by like 10:30 and I got home at like 6 a.m. In the entire night, I had 3 alcoholic drinks.
Oh, nice.
And I'm so fucking proud, because I woke up at 10 a.m. on Saturday, no hungover. And I was like, I'm ready to fucking rock. I have energy. Right. I'm like just every, I was like, yes.
Yeah. Cause being hungover is the worst. And I never really drank my adult life. I just started drinking the past like 4-ish years.
Yeah, when you met me.
Yeah.
Basically, he's sitting there proud, like, there's nothing proud about that. Fuck you.
But I've definitely caught up. I've definitely caught up. But I'm also like, this hangover shit is whack. Like, I was
like, you started too old. Like, you had to drink when you were young. When there was no hangovers, you just wake up like, fuck it. Yo, you go to the gym.
I hear about this. Like, oh, people used to be able to drink and then, you know, until 4 or 5 a.m. and then turn around, go to work at 7. I'm like,
yo,
I would die.
That shit's not work anymore.
Yeah, once you hit 25, that shit's over. So like you started at that age.
Yeah, I started in my 30s. So I'm like, when I was like 30. So I don't know. But yeah, but I just, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time to be hungover. You can't get shit done. You feel like you're going to die. Every time I'm like, I'm literally going to die from alcohol. I'm like, I feel like this is not worth it. I'm never going to drink again. It's stupid.
I'm with you. It's so not worth it. I'm going to music festival next week and I'm like committed to not drink, just because like it's 3 days and I'm like, I want to be able to have fun all 3 days. Like, I don't want to be like,
you're not going to drink.
I'm not going to drink.
Look, hey, you can tell. Look at her face.
Want to make a bet?
I see it. No,
want to make a bet? I was like, hey, I need extra cash. Listen, let's bet.
You tell me you're going to do some shit, you're going to do that shit. So I ain't
worried
about
I'm not.
How many drugs you going to do? Because I know your ass ain't about to be sober.
No, that's the key. That's why I was like, you want a bet? Because I'm like, I really want to stay sober for the entire time. Here's the thing, like, it's gonna be hella hot. It's on the beach and the water is right there. And I'm like, it's just unsafe. Like, a lot of factors, you know, if I'm drunk, the water, the heat, it's 3 days. And I'm like, it's just fucking unsafe. And like, I wanna experience the party like sober, because it's gonna be fun, costumes, you know, like the environment, the music, the people. Like, I wanna be able to meet new people. I'm not gonna remember the next day what we talked about and like, were we vibing or not? So it was like, I'm just going in this sober, because I'm going in for the music, the beach and the sunsets, you know, like I'm not going there to get fucked up. So I'm just gonna, I don't know. Let's make a bed, Jerry.
I didn't get drunk last night and I went out. I danced.
Here we go.
No drunkenness.
But you drank?
Proud of you.
I had a couple drinks.
Because I think, like, honestly, from someone who didn't drink, but I was in situations where people were drinking and I was looked at the drunk people like, yeah, that's why I don't drink. But then there's like this time before you're drunk where you're just kind of buzzed. And it literally, like, it does make everything more fun.
That's the best.
So that's the thing. But my problem is I don't know. I'm just like, this smells so good. Give me more.
Yeah. I feel like I only saw you drunk once.
You saw me drink drunk?
Yeah, one time.
When?
So I was out here and we went out to Fifth, of course. And, we was playing pool and she's super competitive.
Oh yeah, I
and I was whooping that. Her ass.
I don't remember that. I don't believe that happened.
And we was drinking. We was getting after it. And yeah, you were a little drunk that day. I think that was at least the drunkest I've seen you.
Yeah, I don't think I was definitely feeling myself that day, but I wasn't like drunk.
Never seen me drunk for sure. Like, it's very difficult for me to be actually drunk.
Man, shut the fuck up. You're stupid as fuck when you're drunk. You're so dumb when you're drunk.
But I'm not usually drunk.
No, Jerry, you do get drunk. Maybe you just don't think you're drunk because you're at that stage where you think, oh, I can still drive.
No, I definitely don't do that. But no, a lot of people just tell me like, I didn't even know you were drunk.
Well, I always knew when you were drunk and I would always look at you. I'm like, oh my God, you're so fucking.
Well, that's different because we were in a relationship. So I have a different rapport with you and I'm going to,
makes sense.
Act of foolish.
Yeah.
But when I'm around regular people, when I'm around other people, I'm just like the same pretty much.
Poker face.
Yeah, that's sales. That's that sales shit. I got to get drunk with these motherfuckers and still be able to extract information. You know what I'm saying?
Amber, how do you like deal with fear when it comes to like doing all the things, starting a new thing? Like, how do you deal with fear of like, what will other people say? Or like, I don't know what fears you have or like, how to.
Okay.
No, none.
Okay.
I don't care. I'm not scared of what I'm like. I had my first kid at 14. People have been judging me since before I even had my kids. All my friends' parents used to talk shit about me and I would hear them and fuck them because I'm doing better than them now. But anyways,
here we go.
Like,
here we go.
All y'all.
Fuck them. Just saw one a couple weeks ago and I was like, bitch, hi. The fuck?
But no, amazing.
But no, like, so yes, then I had a kid young and then like my young adulthood, I had so much fear. I was like constantly being judged and I was trying like to prove everyone wrong. So I was doing all the things I thought I was supposed to do. Let me go to college. Let me get a house in the suburbs. Let me live the American dream and prove to all these motherfuckers that I can fit in just like them, even though I'm a fuck up. And it was exhausting. And I felt like I was being judged by everyone. Mm. And I was like inside, I was just miserable. I just, it looked so beautiful from the outside. Oh my God, you're doing so well. You're so this, that, that. But I was just miserable inside. So once I kind of like tapped into, I guess, me, and I just did some self-searching, soul-searching, whatever.
Yeah. We're open about this. That's a welcoming topic. Soul-searching, universal things, meditations. It's all welcoming. Yeah.
Once I did that and I just kind of got confident within myself, like I do not give a fuck anymore, like at all. I mean, to the point where like when I got this tattoo on my arm, there was so many people like, oh my God, Amber, you work in corporate America. Why would you get a tattoo on your arm? Like, that's so unladylike and that's so unprofessional. And how are you going to get jobs and everything? And before I had this, I had a little tattoo right here and I used to wear a bracelet or a watch or something to cover it up because I did not want to be judged. I didn't want to prevent myself from getting opportunities. Now I'm like, I do interviews, meetings, like all tattooed up. Hey, how you doing? Like, what's up? I cuss. I don't give a fuck. Like, I give no fuck. I do not care. Yes,
my girl. My girl.
If you are, is someone, a client, potential client of mine, and you don't want to hire me because you don't like the way that I talk or you don't like my tattoos or you don't like my life or my lifestyle, then good riddance to you. You're not the client for me. I will get mine elsewhere. Exactly. If you are a potential employer of mine and you don't want to hire me, that's your fucking loss because I do a fucking good ass job at whatever I do. Yeah. If you don't want to hire me, that's cool because I don't want to work somewhere where I have to pretend to be something or someone else. I just want to be me. I want to be happy. I want to feel comfortable and confident and I want to rock my tattoos and I want to drop an F-bomb from time to time and fuck you. I think I'm not going to let you stop me from doing that.
No, I really think that that's like a next level of, I don't want to say like adulthood, but just like a next level of mindset where you see, you know, somebody doesn't like you. You're not like, oh, please like me. What do I need to do to for you to like buy from me or whatever? You're like, all right, you're not my client. Let's part ways. And you do it with confidence. There's so many people around this world where they like, if they feel that they're not welcome in the area, like dating or business or, you know, work or whatever, they do something to fit in. They do something to make it work. I'm like, no.
So interesting story. When you talk about dating. So I actually dated, I went on a date with this douchebag who is a professional golfer, by the way. And
let's call him
Tiger Woods, not Tiger Woods, but someone who has worked with him.
Dating Tiger Woods.
His assistant.
Why did this motherfucker tell me that I was not white enough for him?
What?
So just so y'all know, Amber's white.
Yeah.
I'm white enough. I'm fucking 100% white.
She's white. Yeah, she's white.
He literally at mother. What we were at? I think we were at Hopcat in Royal Oak.
Yeah.
I'm not white enough for him. Like during dinner.
Who?
Either
who says that? Who, like, how do, what does that even mean though?
Jerry, you know what it means.
But no. Here's the thing. So in my early adulthood, like I said, and I tried to fit in, I tried to change. I really watered myself down a lot, and I changed the way that I talk because I guess, I don't know, people say I talk ghetto, I have an accent, whatever you want to call it. Like, well, where are you from, Amber? You have an accent. No, motherfucker, I'm from the hood, okay? That's the accent. It's a fucking hood accent.
It's called
Hoodville. I come from the streets of Hoodville. That's where the accent comes from.
Oh, my girl.
But no, so I changed the way I talk, like all this stuff. And so in that moment, like for a brief second, I was brought back to like, oh my God, am I still ghetto?
You are. You absolutely
like,
are.
I thought I brushed that shit off.
That shit is crazy. It's the situation both ways, right? Like, yeah. Amber gets that. I get the exact opposite. People tell me,
I'm
not black enough for some shit. Like, I'm black as fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Did you get tan or something?
I did. I've been out here in the sun.
Damn, Jerry.
Look at him, black.
Three shades darker.
So, yeah. Like, I get the same thing because of the way I talk. And the thing was, growing up, my mom made sure we were very proper, very proper. Mm. But I lived in the city. So when I go to school, I can't talk like that because people are going to judge me. People are going to be like, yo, what the fuck are you talking like a little white boy?
Yeah.
So I had to shift that. So now it's like a kind of a mixture. You know what I'm saying? Like the mixture of how I talk. But now I talk like this, however I talk to everybody.
Yeah.
Like
work,
like you said, work, you know, in the streets. Friends, dates, whatever the fuck it is, you're not about to change me and make me feel some different way. You know what I'm saying?
You know, like, I'm really struggling with all of that right now because I'm in Lithuania and everybody's fucking hella white here. When I say white, like, they're white white.
Yeah, that's different white.
That's different. That's like Amish white.
Yeah, that's the origins.
That's the origins. Yes.
And like, when I'm out, let's say, in public and, like, we're going to a bar or something, I'm just being me, right? I'm just being me, what I've been through. Like, I'm with a whole story out and about in a bar. And people think that I'm a foreigner because of the way I act. I'm like,
you are foreign. Your personality has been shaped by the United States.
Oh, 100%. But then, like, I open my mouth and then I start speaking the way I speak. And sometimes it could be ghetto as fuck. Sometimes I'm talking to guys like they're like, you know, we're bros or whatever. And their faces in Lithuania, they're like, what the fuck? Like, you're like trash. And I'm like, thank you. Oh, I don't want to be friends with you. Like, it's mad crazy, especially with men. Men in Lithuania, they like skinny models and, you know, perfect housewives. You quiet, you clean, you cook, you're nice, you go to bed at 9, you wake up at whatever time, you know, just like that. They don't like personalities like you and I, like you and Amber, you know, like you and I, Amber. They don't never see that. They don't know what it is. They think you trash because you're like out there. And I'm like, I'm really struggling to like blend in, or not even blend in, but to just like make any friends because girls think, you know, that kind of behavior a lot of times can be attached to a word, slut. Like, oh, you're a slut because you're loud, because you're brave, because you show off skin.
That's so crazy though. Like, and that's the thing. Like, when I was younger, I struggled with people thought I was a slut for a lot of reasons. I had a kid young, but like, I literally lost my virginity, had a kid, stay with that dude for 6 years. Like, my list is still very minimum. But I've been thought of or looked at as a slut for being loud or the way, whatever, you know, like, that's crazy.
It makes sense.
They still have like fuckboys there, huh? Like, this is
global
shit.
Global fuckboyism.
I need to understand. Okay. Y'all be labeling every type of dude a fuckboy. So, first question.
Because they all are.
All right. First question. Y'all both get the answer separately.
Okay.
You're to you first.
Okay.
Am I a fuckboy?
Yes, most of the time, from what
Amber,
I know.
Am I a fuckboy?
I don't think I know the answer to that. To me, I wouldn't label you a fuckboy. I didn't have a fuckboy experience with you, so I would say no. I've never known you to be a fuckboy. Like, I've never seen you womanize or lead on or do anything that I would consider fuckboy activities. So I have not witnessed the fuckboy in you.
Good.
I've witnessed both. So I was like, yeah, you are a fuckboy, but I think the term is situational.
I think it's situational. So there are situations where
let me say this. I think I might have sensed some fuckboyism on you, and maybe that's That maybe is why
look at the shirt he's wearing. Like, that's straight up fuckboy shirt. Okay.
I got this from the fuckboy catalog, actually. But like but I do agree with her in a sense, like, man, the way we met. Right. So like a date nap. I live in another state. We're hanging out. What's the fuck's gonna happen? Like, what's the
right? What's yeah. The well, again, it was like, yeah, there's no point because
you even said that. You're like, yeah, my fucking life.
Doesn't make any sense for me.
Doesn't make sense. And like, I'm like, yeah, I'm
like on any level. Cause even if I was like, you know what? I just want like somebody to do what we do with. Like, you're not even close enough for that. Like, no.
I remember that exact thing you said. like nah, bro.
Doesn't even make sense.
But no, yeah. I think like the whole fuckboy thing, it gets scattered too much, too easily. Like I'm a single man. I can do whatever the fuck I want to do.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Having sex with multiple people while you're single doesn't make you a fuckboy.
Exactly.
I was almost with you. I was like, wait, that did not go where I was going to go.
Okay.
Okay. Having sex with multiple people while you're single, in my opinion, I feel like that is something that should be disclosed.
Absolutely.
To who you're sleeping with.
Absolutely. Yeah. Every girl should know that she's not the only one.
Thank you. Because I feel like that is one of the most disrespectful and disgusting things a person can do to another person, is to engage in sexual activities with them knowing they are engaging with other shit.
Yeah.
That's like physical health risk. Yeah, like, no, don't you put my fuck, because I've been very careful about my health, so don't you fuck my shit up.
Like, and I get STD tests twice a year, even if I ain't fucking.
Here we go. Yeah, but like,
you gotta be open having that.
Yeah, that, but that doesn't make you a fuck boy though.
I agree, that's what I'm saying.
Well, fuck boy,
a lot of people say that.
Yeah, but that's not it doesn't make you a slut and it doesn't make you a fuck boy. What makes you a fuck boy is dishonest treatment of women, dishonesty, pretending you want to be their relationship guy or whatever, and so not following through. You say something and then you don't do it. Like, that makes you a fuckboy. That, like, that being me. Rude and disrespectful, calling names before even meeting somebody, calling like, you're cocky, like, go suck my dick, bitch. Like, you know, that makes you a fuckboy.
I agree. And you've never seen that from me, and neither has anyone else.
I've seen that from you. I've seen it. And I can like remind you clearly of your fuckboy activities.
Tell me about my fuckboy activities.
Okay. That one time where I was working.
That one time, listen, motherfucker, I didn't see this where that shit come out. Remember when?
I've been saving this.
Yo,
I was working at Fifth, and it was a night before Thanksgiving, the biggest night or the biggest bar night of the year. You walked into the bar, you had booked the table with your friends. You walk into the bar, you see me, you don't even say hi. Although a night before we fucked, and we've been fucking before that for quite some time. I was like, you don't even say hi to me. Even though it's been like, I don't know, 6 months since we've been seeing each other, and like all your friends know and family know. And I'm like, you wouldn't even say hi to me for whatever reason. That's fuckboy move. That's fuckboy move. For you to tell me when I move across countries and for you to tell me like, that's boyfriend material, you can't expect that from me. Well, I'm just like, I just changed my entire world. I need somebody to like comfort me. For you to tell me I'm not your boyfriend, I'm not gonna do this for you, that's fuckboy move. That's massive fuckboy move.
That's fuckboy. No, don't you better shut the fuck up. No, that's fuckboy as hell. Like,
eat that shit right now.
Fuck him.
No, I need more context because I think the listeners need more context of what was going on. I actually I don't remember what you're talking about. There were situations where I was less kind to you, I would say.
But fuck you, boy.
You were a total bitch when we were dating sometimes. You were.
Y'all can't see my mouth, but it's just hit the fucking floor.
Yo,
hold on. Me, I was a bitch to you? What?
You were a lot. You
hold are- on. What about the situations where like I've never been loved before, like, but you know, you're the only girl, blah blah blah. I'm like, what? Me a bitch to you? Come on, yeah, you please.
Do y'all need a moment? Do I need to leave the room? Right?
No animosity. You know what I'm saying? I love you. You know, we good. But like for real, man. We was in a different mode. We were in a different situation back then. And then yes, there were times where she would make me really mad, and I'm just like, I ain't fucking with you today. I ain't talking to you. And I don't know. I don't recall. Maybe it was fuckboy shit.
He would make me he would piss me off by not saying hi to me at the bar that I'm working. And like, we obviously lock eyes and we fuck. And like, I know we're fucking. And like, all your friends know that
too. He left the bar without a drink on his shirt because I showed it. Oh my bad. And no, just spilled that shit all over.
No. So then I'm pissed off and then I'm rude because you made the first move by ignoring me. Like, you look into my eyes and you ignore me, then obviously I'm going to be fucking mad and then obviously I'm going to be a bitch. So it's, you know, the first step that you did, count that in.
Which is a good point because women's actions are 9 times out of 10 a reaction to a man's actions, like in dating and relationship situations. So if we're being a bitch, if we're being loving, if we're whatever we're being, 9 times out of 10, you can relate that, tie it directly back to something you did.
An action. I agree. I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
We are very reactional creatures.
Yeah. I agree.
100%.
I'm not even going to dispute that.
Yeah, usually, like if we're nice to you, it's because you're nice to us. And
we did something that made you feel comforted or whatever it is, right? But yeah, maybe I did some fucked up shit. Listen, I ain't perfect.
We've come a long way, Jerry. I was sitting here the other day.
How long ago was this?
Four or five years ago. It had to be 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah. But it's like, I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, we've come a long way. And I know you for such a long time. Like we met when? 2016? Yeah, we met 2016 Christmas. And I'm like,
I call it summer 16 still.
Christmas. And I'm like, we've come a long way. Like, just, it's just crazy.
As individuals,
people, and together, you know, friends. We come a long way.
We definitely done some crazy shit.
Anyway, this was a great episode.
Yeah,
I appreciate Amber for the podcast. Invite me to the basement. I feel like I'm a 106 in part. You know, we're in the basement. You know what I'm saying?
Out here. No, it looks hella cool too. Like, I really like that you guys are together in one room. Like, it makes everything just much better.
Yeah, but I think the conversation flows better that we're all like, you know, seeing each other, and y'all can't see us on the podcast, but we can see each other and like.
Yeah. Anyway. For sure. It makes things much easier. Like, I have a coach that I work with, and we do it just audio. Like, we just do a phone call, and it gets a little bit awkward because like, if it's quiet, like, I'm like, I don't know. Are you doing, like, you looking aside to your kid or like, what are you doing? You know, but yeah, so it makes it easier to see each other. But thank you so much, Amber, for coming, for just being an amazing person from like the minute I messaged all the way up till until now. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for being open and honest. And this is your time to promote yourself. Where can our listeners find you?
Okay, so y'all can find me. My website is amberboone.net. And on there, it pretty much lists out everything that I do. So whether you need real estate services or marketing, branding, consulting, if you need somebody to marry you or bury you, or if you need somebody to notarize a document, or
I'm getting some ideas. I'm like,
whatever you need, just go to my website, holler at me. I can do it. I'll figure out how to build you a house if that's what you need, whatever. But then also, if you're on social media, look at my podcast, 30 Flirty and Thriving. I'm available on Spotify and SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, all of that. It's also on YouTube. And then my Instagram is Get Real with AB. Facebook, Get Real with AB, Amber Boone, 30 Flirty and Thriving, Amber Boone Realty, whatever. If you type in any of those things, you'll find me.
Amazing. I think
that's it. I get real on AB, I think, is my TikTok too, but I don't really be on there like that. But yeah.
And her phone number is.
Real estate services, seriously, 313-502-1716. If you're in the Detroit area and you need to sell your house, listen, I'm your girl. Because one thing about me is, I don't quit, and I'm gonna find you the best deal, and I'm gonna fight hard for
Here
you.
Here we go. Oh, this was amazing promotion. Thank you. Like, I just, I love hearing females that are like, up and upfront and confident and powerful. Like, it inspires me. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not alone. Like, I'm not a crazy one. Like, I know I'm not alone. So just like, it helps me feel good. I'm like, all right, I got some ideas I need to do. And like, it's, yeah. So thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jerry, for bringing her on.
Of course. And to your point, it's super inspiring to me too. And like, strong women, I love hanging out with. That's why I got friends like this and stuff. And yeah. Thanks, Amber, for real.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for having me. This is great. Like I said, I love the podcast and I'm so excited to be a part of it.
We have a little tradition. I have a book that's called The Beginner's Guide to the Universe, and it's like a quote book. Well, there's some stories there too, but mostly it's quotes. And I always ask our listeners or like Jerry to flip through pages and like pick a quote and read something. So I'm going to flip through pages. You tell me when to stop and then I'll read the quote.
Wait, go to page 13.
All right, now. Page 13. Look at that. That's some assertiveness right there.
Made my life easier. Okay, so page 13 has three quotes, top, middle, or bottom?
Top.
It's the longest one, man. It's the longest one. God damn it. All right, I got to read now. Okay, the truth will not only set you free, it'll slay all dragons, banish all fears, heal what hurts, fill what's empty, clear what's confused, connect all dots, lighten what's heavy, bring friends together, turn dust to gold, and raise the sun.
Amen. Yeah,
hey, you don't need to read that again. That's very clear. Like,
that was very clear.
That's crazy, because I'm all about the truth. I'm all about keeping it real. Like, fuck lying, fuck
real AB. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
This book, anytime we do an episode, we randomly pick a quote and it like just sums up everything we talk about. It's to the T. It's to the spot. It's like, yeah, always.
Can you send me the link to that book or like the name of it so I can go get it?
Yeah, I'll do it. It's really, really good one. Like, I keep it by my, you know, like by like a hand's reach. Yeah, it's really, really good. I'll send it to you. All right, guys. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for listening to Conversations with My Ex.